Buffon, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Lionel!
Ronel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Elber Feliz! La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome into the holiday version of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. I'm Glenn Davis. What a wonderful time of the year it is now to be grateful and thankful, and certainly thankful for all of our production staff, guests, and especially to you, the listener. Thank you for keeping this soccer show on the air for 23 years, either listening live or by downloading the podcast. Now, as always, we stream at ESPN975.com. Tonight, you know, the majority of this show is going to be best of from 2024 and a re-air of a portion of our live show this past week at Hugh O'Connor's Pub at 5010 Dinkins in West University. So that's what we have on tap. But I'm going to start it off here tonight talking about some of the issues that I didn't get to at that live show, simply because a live show with guests coming in, the focus was on all of them. But there have been some pretty interesting topics that I do think we need to get to. First of all, Club America, three straight titles in Liga MX. Pretty big deal. Andre Jardine getting it done. He's only 43 years old. Won all three of the titles for them. They make history with that. Yes, they are short tournaments. Yes, they are playoff-type tournaments. But they came alive in the playoffs, and they were the better team than Rayados in the final. By the way, Richard Sanchez, ridiculous quality of goals, including the one from the halfway line against Cruz Azul. Alejandro Zendejas, the U.S. international, was outstanding in these playoffs. And Club America with seven or eight Mexican nationals in their team. So that makes that one even more important. Leganés. Now, we all know Jeff Lunau, the former Astros general manager. Leganés got a 1-0 victory at Barcelona. I mean, this is history-making stuff. So, you know, for a team that's promoted from the second division to the first in La Liga, big, big deal. You know, I don't know if it really resonates here in Houston because people are still figuring out who Leganés is, but Barcelona certainly knows who they are. A 1-0 win for Leganés. So really rooting for them to remain up in La Liga. Real Madrid won the Intercontinental Final. Yes, that was the former FIFA Club World Cup, which will now be played in the summer here. We did see that Gio Reyna scored a goal. That's positive. Let's hope that keeps going there and he can remain injury-free and get himself back into the picture of the U.S. national team. But there's no gimmies anymore under Mauricio Pochettino as the new U.S. manager. And I love the fact that U.S. soccer hired two no-nonsense managers and have become less of a political platform and more of getting back to being excellent soccer teams in you know, in the vein of the world. Football comes first. Adriano, the Brazilian attacker, remember him, 42 years of age. He played in a farewell match at Maracana Stadium. This is a guy that had a lot of highs and lows on and off the field. There's no doubt about it. It was Flamengo against the Friends of Italy, Flamengo winning 4-3. Not that that really matters. They did a cool video tribute to him, though, where they used AI and they had the voice of his father. At Inter Milan is really where he made a big name. 115 appearances, 47 goals. Also played at Parma, 37 appearances in 23. And then he debuted for Brazil at 18. 48 appearances for Brazil, 27 goals. In a very, very good time period. I interviewed him over in Berlin, Germany, before the 2006 World Cup, and seemed like a really, really nice guy in the interview. Super guy. But did have a lot of on and off field problems. AC Milan had their 125th anniversary, notably absent Paolo Maldini. There was some discontent at this celebration. And meanwhile, more AC Milan news or Milan news, Christian Pulisic signing a new agreement remains injured. So a couple of things to get caught up on. I think the other one was the fact that You know, we've heard a lot of data about Major League Soccer, but the MLS Cup ratings were not good. 468,000 viewers across Fox and Fox Deportes. I think that was the total. Even if it was a couple hundred thousand more, it's still poor. It didn't even hit a million. It dropped in half from 2023. Yeah, 468,000 viewers across Fox, Fox Deportes. That was a drop from 2023, where there was 897,000. Now, this brings up the fact that going behind the paywall with Apple, I don't know. You know, listen, it's a $2.5 billion deal for Apple over 10 years. It's exclusive. Apple does not make ratings available. They did come out and say that they did have some games with a million viewers. I'm sure those were the messy games. But broadcast right fees, you know, I always thought kind of drove sponsorship, player salaries. I'm not sure anymore. I mean, Apple picked this up, I think, to use MLS and sports as the crass test dummy, kind of the guinea pig. Apple has provided, the big thing was accessibility over a lot of platforms. MLS continues to skyrocket with expansion fees, but it is a little bit nebulous. MLS came out saying they were two or three in attendance in the world. I guess there's truth to that. On the other hand, they have 29 teams. A lot of that was driven by Messi. If you take the Messi numbers out of it, I don't know where you lie. You've got bigger stadiums. I think the real thing is, instead of propping that up, is just saying that there is more interest in MLS now, especially in certain markets here in the U.S., and there's still some markets that do kind of drag. You know, back to the ratings, 468,000 viewers over Fox and Fox Deportes. Caitlin Clark was drawn 1.5 million, and I even think some games 2 million for regular season Indiana Fever games, just to put this in context. And this has been the problem for MLS is TV ratings. So we'll see. Apple made a huge investment. It's big money. It was a speculative investment, I think, because they wanted the sports content. So, you know, some of these things go hand in hand, but it is truly pretty interesting to watch all of this. And I don't think it was great that there was an international window right before the cup final. The buzz just didn't seem to be there. So that becomes still Pandora's box for Major League Soccer. Houston Dynamo schedule dropped, and this is a good start. Wow. Houston FC Dallas. So you start out with the Texas Derby, and yes, you get that Lionel Messi game in game two, as Inter Miami will come here March 2nd. Get your tickets. The Dynamo then go on the road to Columbus, home to Real Salt Lake, and then away to Seattle. Now, look, it's pretty common knowledge that the Dynamo were getting Inter Miami. And I'm sure in the offseason they were like, look, we haven't gotten them here at Shell Energy Stadium with Lionel Messi, and it's our turn. We deserve it because we're all sharing the excitement, the cash flow, and the awareness and interest of the league through Leo Messi. It's part of the way MLS was able to acquire him, was that as a centralized league, everybody bought into bringing him here. So I think it's super exciting for Houston fans. I think this is a great first five for the team because you're coming in this year with a bang. You know, you got a Texas Derby. Eric Quill is the head coach of Dallas. This is a Houston youth product coming back to Houston as the head coach of FC Dallas. I mean, what a storyline this is. What a storyline. So sharpen your pencils. No, get your fingers moving. Excuse me. And start typing that one up. Eric Quill returns to Houston to take on the Dynamo. It's a Texas Derby. Then you got Miami. Then you got Columbus, Real Salt Lake, and Seattle. Seattle knocked you out of the playoffs last year. But what a start. I mean, this is real opportunity to get out of the blocks in a big, big way. And wow, I really love the fact that Eric Quill's coming back with Dallas And this is a youth product in Houston. Great opportunity for the Dynamo with three out of their first five at home. Now, three of their final five are on the road. Their final match is different this year. It usually has been the LA Galaxy, and this year the Dynamo will finish at Sporting Kansas City, which leads me into the team in the offseason. And I would ask yourself this question, has it been too out of sight, out of mind? We always lose momentum with the Dynamo kind of in the offseason. Pat Onstad has made the rounds. We had him on Soccer Matters, and he's always very open, willing to talk. So let's talk about a couple of the things that are going on here. First off, he made it very clear the tactics aren't changing. So you're going to have that sort of inverted right-sided player. Coco Carrasquilla played that role last year. You're going to have Aliyu on the left, and you're going to have Dorsey getting forward out of the right. So your main sources of attack, again, ball went through Aliyu on the left a lot and Griffin Dorsey coming late, which leads us to the very obvious statement I'm going to make right now, which is there is a huge need for a threat out of midfield for the Houston Dynamo. Somebody that's goal dangerous, somebody that can take people on like Luciano Acosta, somebody that can break lines off the dribble. You need that element to complement the other things. I don't think teams are afraid of the Dynamo from a central area like they were in 2023 when you got the best of Hector Herrera. He had 17 assists and four goals. You didn't get that in 2024. And it was a team that really, again, struggled to score goals. Now, the Dynamo are handcuffed because they have the lowest general allocation money in the league. That's been pretty evident. That's been put out here lately. That's due to deals prior. But their game is a methodical control possession game. The whole Dynamo game is stay in games, keep your team shape, don't get pulled apart either lengthwise or widthwise so that you are concentrated and condensed when you lose the ball. I know some fans are saying, and even I have said, this is kind of cautious. Could you add a transition game to this? They may not want to add a transition game because that means the game could get a little bit more opened up and the team shape could be lost. This is the strength that allows the Dynamo to be such a good defending team, which they are, one of the best in the league, no question, through possession number one and then team shape. But if they're going to score more goals, I would have to say there's going to have to be some risk or individuals acquired that are going to help you because Aliyu, Kowalczyk, Coco, they're not goal scorers. And you can play the game of playing it close and thinking you can go on a run like the New York Red Bulls. It's possible, yes. It's not easy, I don't think. And I also think the fans, certainly, you know, to help the attendance, want to see more goals at home, want to see it opened up even more. And by getting a threat out of midfield, too, I think you're going to be really helping Ezequiel Ponce as well, who really, you know, it's hard for him to get chances facing goal because it is so condensed in there because the Dynamo do come up the field pretty methodically for large portions of games, and it does allow opposing defenses to settle, and then you have to break them down. It's not easy. Not easy at all. So if you go back to 2023, yeah, it was a more appealing product because you had Hector Herrera pulling the strings and getting it done. Coco Carrasquilla. I think the obvious is to drop him deeper. Now, he's going to play that position a lot different than Herrera. He might give you a little bit more thrust and directness from there. You know, Hector was picking up the ball all over the field, pretty much had a free role. I think Coco's role will be more defined, which then goes to investment and what type of player do you get to take Coco's role on? And that player is going to have to be one, and you heard Pat Onstad say it, that's going to do work without the ball. For all of you who are shouting for Jaimes Rodriguez and a player like that that's not going to defend, that's not coming the Dynamo way. The only way that would come is if the Dynamo were going to move off their tactical position right now. And everything Pat Onstad is saying right now, the shape of this team remains the same. It will be an inverted, narrow type of team for the most part. So, I mean, this is what's happening. So what type of 10 this will be, it's going to have to be one that when the ball's lost is going to do a lot of work. So you're not going to hide this player like Tata Martino did, you know, with Messi and Suarez, who aren't going to do as much work for you and are a more attack-oriented team. So it's going to be really interesting, I think, to see how the Dynamo puts this all together. It's exciting to see what happens in the offseason with piecing the team together. So time will tell. It's going to be interesting. Pat Onsad and the Dynamo building that roster out. You're going to do it without Hector Herrera this year. And you still have Sebas Ferreira hanging on. And, you know, you could cut ties with him. You could move him on. I know people have asked me, can you play with two strikers? I don't. That they tried it a little bit late in games when they were behind last year. The Dynamo didn't work out very well. So that really has been a bit of an albatross around the Dynamo, an anchor. After Ferreira scored 13 the first year, he just has not fit into the system. And I think that's pretty obvious from all aspects. Anthony Robinson continues to just draw real rave notices as one of the best left backs in the Premier League. World Cup, he was excellent, dependable, consistent. We'll see if he's going to make a move in the future. And again, this was a great year for U.S. soccer, hiring Mauricio Pochettino and Emma Hayes. All right, we're going to take a break. One of the big hopes is that the Dynamo can get Nelson Quiñones Jr. healthy and fit. Also, Lawrence and Nolly. We're going to go back to my original interview with the young German when he signed for the Houston Dynamo. You're listening to Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by the one and only John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713. Call now. Okay, now these are just two more generic sort of takes. Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. You contact them at DaspitLaw.com, 713. Call now. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They'll take your case. They'll work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. You need the best when you're looking for a personal injury attorney. That is the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713. Call now. Let's take a break now, presented by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. By the way, John and his firm supporting soccer for so many years. This is what has helped get us on the air to talk soccer and to allow you to listen into all the programming, hear the interviews, call into the shows as we continue to groom soccer. And by the way, you are a huge part of the 23 years of Soccer Matters on the air in Houston. You, the listener, and you, the downloader of podcasts. Thank you so much. And thank you, Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713. Call now.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back, everyone, to Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Hey, a reminder, get your gifts, Cactus Music, all your vinyl needs, CDs, T-shirts, books. Rest assured, you go in that place, Cactus Music, you'll have fun shopping there. All kinds of really interesting gifts. Our best of season begins now with Lawrence Anali, the young German talent, who, after wowing Dynamo fans with a spectacular goal against LAFC, damaged his knee, and Ali is being counted on next year to produce out wide. And this is a big piece of how well the Dynamo will do. Not expected to be there at the beginning of the year. But here's my interview with him after his arrival to Houston earlier in the year. So a lot of your soccer growing up, I mean, you created your own environment. You didn't wait for coaches. You also played on your own with your friends in the streets. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's correct.
Is your initial impressions of the United States favorable? How do you like Houston? You know, what do you like about the U.S. and have you been here before?
To be honest, I was never in the U.S. before. So it's my first time and I'm living here. So, yeah, it's crazy. I have to say the heat is something special. the humidity, it's tough, but I like it. I'm getting used to it. And about Houston, yeah, the city is big, very, very big. You can do a lot of things here. I'm looking forward to do some other stuff than only playing soccer. So, yeah.
Lawrence Sonali joining us. New Dynamo signing from Berlin, Germany. Only 22 years of age. Has already been very exciting off the bench for the Houston Dynamo. Lawrence, did you grow up in the Berlin area? I know you were born there, but is that where you grew up, in that area, Berlin?
Yeah, I was born in Berlin. And then when I was like a year old, we moved to Nuremberg. Yeah, it's also a city in Germany. And I grew up there until I was seven, started playing football there for the FC Nuremberg, second Bundesliga team. I started playing football there. Then we moved back to Berlin, and I played for Hertha BSC, also second Bundesliga team. That's about it. So yeah. Moved to Nuremberg, back to Berlin, and yeah.
You mentioned the seriousness with which the competition came at a very young age for you. A lot of times over here in the U.S., you know, people want to move away from, let's not be that competitive, let's build a technical base. But in the German soccer culture, were there a lot of competitive demands put on you when you were a 7 or an 8 year old?
Yeah, of course. It was also important, like, for the coaches
be serious.
No, to evolve, like develop. To develop, yes, develop. To like the passing, but it was always like they wanted to win, and this is the winning mentality we have in Germany. I was 7, 8 years old, and when you lose, you were just very sad and angry, and so that's me. I was growing up with it, so yeah.
But you also seem to find happiness in the game, even with the competition and everything.
Yeah.
Lawrence Sonali joining us here. Lawrence, tell me a little bit about your 8 appearances at Hanover and what that meant to you to ultimately make your professional debut.
Yeah, I was 18 or 19 years old. I can't remember, to be honest. It was amazing. Directly from the under U19. It's either you go to the second team or to the professionals. I was happy that the coaches gave me the chance to directly play for the first team. I was very nervous at the beginning, but it was a crazy experience to play in the cup games against Bundesliga teams like Leipzig or Gladbach. It was amazing.
You really seem, in the 2 appearances I saw, that you really have an air of maturity, and that, you know, you've gained a lot of experience for being a young guy. It did not seem at all like you were nervous, intimidated, or anything in these first 2 appearances for the Dynamo.
In the first game, I have to be honest, I was a little bit nervous to come in. But yeah, it's normal. New club, new fans, new teammates. I was also like just very excited the night before because I knew I would get the chance, I think, to play. So I was just excited and the nervous. What do you say?
There was a bit of anxiety, or
no, not anxiety. Yeah, but yeah, it just flew away like with my first touch. I like having the ball. I like to dribble. I just love to play the game. So, yeah, I have a lot of fun with it.
This is music to our ears, Lawrence. Lawrence Sonali joining us. Who pushed you maybe to start taking people on as a kid, right? I mean, did you have an influence that encouraged you when you picked up the ball? Hey, we want you to run at people, beat people, or did that just come naturally to you?
Yeah, I always had it in me. But I also have to say that, when I was 13, 14, I was a right back, so I learned another position. But I have to say, like, the switch was in the last season when I played with Lukas Podolski. I gained a lot of confidence. He helped me a lot. He just said, you have the speed and you have the dribbling and you have a good technique. And he just spoke good to me. He gave me the confidence and I just exploded, I would say. Like, I love, like, I have the feeling I can dribble past every player. So, yeah.
So is dribbling a lot down to confidence? I mean, obviously it's down to technique, but another big element of it, the confidence and the want.
If you have the confidence, then it feels like it is easy.
Yeah, this is awesome. Lawrence and Ali joining us here for Houston Dynamo fans. All right, Górnik Zabrze, Poland. Górnik Zabrze,
yes.
Yeah, I probably didn't pronounce it correctly. Yeah. I gave it my best shot. Tell me a little bit about that club and playing in Poland and the reason you went there at the time.
So I was on vacation in the summer break and I received a call from Lukas Podolski. He said, yeah, we know you're good. We see the potential in you. And then 1 week after my vacation, I directly went to Poland. I knew it is a big club in Poland. They won the championship 14 times and they have good history in the club and the fans are crazy, amazing atmosphere, good team. And yeah, I just decided to go there to play in a first league in Europe. That was very important for me to play in a first league. I think the rest is... was just going perfect, was going well for me.
You know, Lawrence, I put something up about you coming to the Dynamo on social media, and a lot of the fans of your Polish team were like sending me messages, oh, you guys got a great player, you better take care of him. I mean, you had a lot of support over there. You must have been a really big fan favorite.
Yeah, it was a tough start for me. When I moved to Poland, I was, to be honest, it was like a whole switch in my life. Everything changed. No family, no friends. First time like away from home. But I got used to it. And yeah, then like after 3 or 4 months, I needed the time to adapt. I just loved to be there. I felt the support and the messages, and even in the stadium, like, It was just great, and yeah, they helped me a lot.
Talking to Lawrence Anali of the Houston Dynamo. By the way, the Dynamo take on Toluca Friday, round of 32 in the League's Cup, and the Dynamo getting a spectacular victory, a 3-0 victory over Real Salt Lake to win the group, which really was up for grabs on that second game. So the Dynamo will take on Toluca. You played a little bit against Atlas, and I suspect you haven't played against Mexican teams before. Was there anything different playing against a Mexican football club like Atlas?
I wouldn't say different. I just saw they have like good technical players, good speeds. It's football. So you have these kind of players in almost every team with good technique and speed. But yeah, I knew they have some good fans. They made some good atmosphere. So yeah.
So Lawrence, you know, what a lot of people are going to say, they're looking at you and they're going, what a talented player. What a great signing by the Houston Dynamo. I'm sure you had interest from other clubs. You're only 22 years of age. And I guess the obvious question that I'll ask for everybody is, why come to Major League Soccer at this point from Europe?
Yeah, I just saw the opportunity. I saw that the league was growing. My agent, he told me also a little bit about it, like the plan and what could be my next steps in the future. Yeah, and you just have to be like calm, like see the situation. And I was thinking a lot about it. It took me some weeks to decide, to be honest. But I don't regret it. I think it was the right decision. The team is amazing. I see the league growing, and yeah, I think my play style is good for this league. With my speed, I can help the team a lot. And yeah.
Did you know much about Major League Soccer prior? I mean, had you watched any games, or was it kind of doing your homework pretty quickly about understanding what the league was about?
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't know much about the league, but I followed the league since Messi was joining. So, but I had to learn a lot about the league. I think I know everything, like almost everything now, but yeah.
Lawrence and Ali joining us here. And again, we remind you, Dynamo Toluca on Friday. You can get tickets at HoustonDynamo.com, LeagueCup.com. You mentioned Lucas Podolski a lot, and he was a player I loved watching with Germany. Yeah. He's obviously a big influence.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that relationship.
Yeah, he's like my friend now. It's just amazing how he's speaking, and like he doesn't care. He just speaks whatever he has in his head. He's just letting it out. He's helping a lot. He's down to earth. Like he's speaking like my brother. Just a great guy on and off the pitch. And yeah.
Lawrence, have you always played as an inverted winger or more on the right side of the field? You did mention that you were starting at a younger age as a right back, but do you prefer the right side or the left side cutting in?
I prefer the left side. I feel more comfortable on the left side. I played the right side as well, but I just feel like a lot more comfortable on the left side because I have the opportunity to cut in or just go straight the line.
Excellent. Well, listen, Lawrence, a big, big thank you for coming on tonight. It seems like there's really big things in store for you. Everybody's enjoyed watching you play. We want to wish you the best of luck against Toluca on Friday, and we look forward to another visit in the future after you score a couple of goals for the Dynamo.
Can't wait. Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lawrence. Let's take a break. More to come on the Best of Soccer Matters. Okay. Get your holiday Soccer Matters t-shirts at LamontBrands.com. Also, the hats are there. A big thank you to Jerry and Mel Lamont. Great printing company. They print it all. It's a special gift, though, if you get a Soccer Matters t-shirt, because it benefits the 501c charity, the Snowdrop Foundation. This is for pediatric cancer research. It's also for pediatric cancer scholarships, and our show has always been connected to Snowdrop Foundation, the 501c charity. Up next, for the Tigres fans, Tigres head coach Veljko Panovic on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. This one is for you, Tigres fans.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Big shout out here to Hugh O'Connor's Pub. Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Get in there, all the best in British foods. Great beer selection, great whiskey selection. It's Hugh O'Connor's Pub, and people will be getting ready for the upcoming Premier League season as well. Our next guest was a coach in Major League Soccer with the Chicago Fire, also led in 2015 Serbia to the Under-20 World Cup Championship. His assistant coach on that team was Marko Mitrovic. He has coached Chivas. He is now the head coach of Tigres. Tigres in town right now, tomorrow night, to take on Puebla in the League's Cup. He is Veljko Panovic. Well, Veljko, just start off by just talking about how things have been ahead of this Puebla game here in Houston.
Yeah, so far so good. Although yesterday we had to be redirected to San Antonio due to some flight condensation. But yeah, it's just the circumstantial, and we are very excited to be here. The players are in a good mood, and we've been working the first part of the season in Mexico pretty well. So we see this as a continuation of our build-up into the season, where we believe that Leagues Cup is a great opportunity for us and for all the teams that are coming from Mexico to excel. I think it's going to be a very interesting tournament this year.
Obviously, you come from another big club, Chivas. Now you're with Monterrey, and here in Houston, we know how well-supported they are and around the country. Just explain to my listeners the intensity maybe of the pressure of being the manager of Tigres.
Yeah, I mean, both teams you mentioned, I've coached and I'm coaching now, have a huge fans base, and they have huge expectations about the team. They've been all successful in the past. In the recent years, Tigres, in the last 10 years, I think it's the Mexican team that won more titles, not only in Mexico, but at the continent too. So there's a lot of good vibes and good expectations from our fans. And every tournament, every competition, every opportunity to measure the team against the other best teams in the world, in this case, in the MLS and Mexico, it's another excitement for our fans. And they always expect the best. We believe we have a very good players. We also believe that we've been doing so far very good. We started the season pretty well. So now we have to show that the team is ready for another very, very hard challenge that we're going to have.
By the way, Tigres beat Necaxa, drew Atlas, beat America, and beat Santos. So they're undefeated in four rounds of Liga MX with their manager, Veljko Panovic. Veljko, having been on both sides of this, I mean, obviously a Chicago Fire head coach, and now in Liga MX, maybe the differences in the league. I know this is an age-old question, but I'll ask it anyway. What are some of the differences you see? And that could include maybe things like healthy pressure off the field.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. I think there's a cultural context. There's a difference between the recruitment and the profiles of the players and all that. I think it's getting more even in the last years. I think MLS and Liga MX is very, which I think Leagues Cup showed that and proved that last year. It's getting very, very tight. The challenge between the teams, between the two leagues, it's every time much more even. Although that I still think the seasons, as they overlap in different part of the year, have their it takes its toll, right? So I believe that the schedule, it's the main challenge. In order to see the best from every team, we have to be in the same timeline, I believe, as the leagues and competitions.
Veljko Panovic joining us. You felt the vibe of the Tigres fan in Houston. I know you know that, and the support for the Tigres fan base here, and Libres y Locos, and all these fan bases. It's pretty exceptional here in Houston. We feel it all the time. André Pierre Gignac, just talk to me about managing such a historic figure for this club.
Yeah, he's first of all, he wants to win every game, every practice. He wants to be the first in everything he does. Very good pro, and his career talks for itself. I believe the fact that he always, as I mentioned, always wants to do his best and win in every challenge he has in front of him, it carries him on. Carries him on, and even that he's in his late 30s, he still takes care, very good care of himself. He's a very good mentor to an example to the young players, and those players that are not young anymore too. So, you know, it's a pleasure being working with him, and we look further up to take more from everything he can bring to the table, and his experience means a lot to our team.
So in the past, maybe Tigres might have been known as maybe a team with a little bit more of a methodical buildup, a little bit more maybe possession-oriented, methodical type of buildup. You are implementing something that's different now. After four games, how do you feel about maybe a little bit more of your pressing system and your idea about football and how your players are receiving it?
Yeah, we maintain the possession-oriented style, but we look to play on opponent's half more often than playing between two boxes. I believe I'm very influenced from my experience in England with Reading in Championship, where I've learned how much excitement brings to the fans when they see their team attacking the box and being constantly a threat for the opponent, for the opposition. When you bring the ball to the final third, when you get your set pieces, when you execute the set pieces well, when you play passes forward without losing the identity of being a possession-oriented team, we look to orientate the possession-oriented team towards the opponent's goal, opponent's box. And at the same time, we have to be very good in executing our repress. After we lose the ball, we have to, in order to stay on the opponent's field, we have to be very good in those defensive transitions where we are able to be close to each other so we can press immediately, win the ball back, and we don't have to run all the way back to our goal to defend and do the whole build-up, which is never easy. You know, even though we have a very good and talented players, you have also the opposition that it's not going to allow you to come to be a threat in front of their goal. So if you're capable of maintaining your opponent with and without the ball on their half, you will have definitely more opportunities to score and you will bring more excitement to the fans.
Yeah, and I didn't insinuate that you were leaving the possession game, but I know you're implementing more of a pressing game and a repressing game. Is it sometimes hard when you come in as a new manager and you got to expect and put out to players that, hey, you're going to have to maybe do things a little bit differently and change your habits a little bit? That's got to be tough.
Well, you know, everything is about convincing people, especially in my job. And if you are capable of communicating your idea and supporting your idea with data and video, I think you have more chance to being given a chance to do what you want. And that's the methodology we have. But then you have to know, you know, the basics of the game. You have to know why you're doing, how you're doing in every position. And you have to make your players wanting to play that way. And this is something we look to from the first moment. We look to give the players the vision and then give us a chance to try playing the way they give us a chance. Convincing, obviously, it's a little bit of individual work with the players, but once they start get going, they see the benefits of the way we want to play, and when that later it's transferred to the game and they see that things happen the way most of the time, because I you can't predict everything. This is a very intense game with a lot of changes, very dynamic, but most of the time you have the things happening the way you kind of predict or the way you want to conduct the game. And then the players get excited about it. They want it more. And they, reviewing the videos, reviewing what we do and reviewing the data, they see themselves improving. They see that it works. And that's a great opportunity for the team to have the cohesion you want to have. And at the same time, as we always want to improve, you can make the next step forward in the direction you want to play and the direction in the vision of the team you want to be.
Fascinating. We're talking to Veljko Panovic. Veljko, how would you describe yourself as a coach? Autocratic, democratic, down the middle? What taskmaster? How would you, if you looked at yourself, how would you describe yourself as a coach?
It's an interesting, very interesting.
I finally asked an interesting question.
I'll give you a very quick answer. So I'll say situational. All of that depending on the situation. Sometimes you have to convince always. This is the word I was looking for when I stopped for a second. You have to seduce your players with your vision, with the way you want to play. And when you have that seducement done, then everything becomes an open field for creativity, for inspiration, and for excelling the talents of your team. And with that said, you don't have to be, although I said situational, most of the time you're going to always show the same vision of yourself, which is being supportive, which is being challenging, demanding. But most of the time, I want my players to feel that they have someone that they can rely on. I always say I want to develop everyone as a player, but also as a person. And my coaching is not only with on the whiteboard or on the football board with videos and all that stuff. It's a lifestyle. I tell my players, you know, everything I tell, I have four kids. Right. I have four kids. They all played or play soccer, football. And everything I tell them, I tell my kids. So if I say that it's not good to someone, if I say if your body language is not good, you're showing something to your opponent, to your coaches and to your fans. You got to change that. And this is the way how you can change it. This is what you have to think, how the way you have to think, because I've been there. I know how the things happen and what are the repercussions and the consequences of certain things that you manifest on the field or off the field. So I want to be a life coach. At the same time, I'm very passionate for the game. I'm looking to show my players that I'm creative and I'm not afraid to give anyone ideas that are maybe unconventional sometimes. And at the same time, I'm also not afraid to play young players, nor players that, and on my team, you have a lot of players that are veteran players. Some people describe them as old, which I don't like. I just think that you don't have to look in their passports and IDs what is their day of birth. You have to look the performance on the field. And if there is the right attitude and if there is a right cohesion. So a little bit, maybe I gave you a long answer, but I was just inspired by you to do that.
It was a great answer. Listen, we got to let you go. Velko, thank you so much for everything. Continued success. It's been wonderful watching your career. And best of luck against Puebla tomorrow night.
Thank you, Glenn. Thanks a lot.
All right. That's Velko Panovich, the head coach of Tigres. We move on as we hit a break after this, and a shout out to another institution in Houston. That would be Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. Three locations, the new one in the Woodlands, I-10 in the Beltway, the best lamb shank, gyros, souvlaki, salads, burgers, you name it. Oh, and the bakery? Are you kidding? It's off the charts. Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe and institution. My favorite location, the one close to me, is the Montrose location. But Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe has been doing it forever.
ESPN 97.5.